Hi, today is October 9th, 2022. This is Mobius Podcast 425. I'm Todd Gossoard, my good friend John Westfall, and is our old buddy, Sven Johansson. Hey, Sven.
Hey.
Because Sven buys everything. So, you know, when Sven does
buy a lot. That is a benefit that we have to having him on, is that we know that, I mean, of the three of us, if one of us hasn't bought something,
yeah,
it's a really rare product, I think.
That's true. That's true.
And if all of us have bought it, then it must be a good product.
Then you better just buy it.
Yeah.
Or strength it enough.
Everybody else should buy it too. So I'm going to actually talk about more. Speaking of buying a new product, I'll talk about this more later. But I got my iPhone 14 Pro in just about a week ago, early this week. I think maybe Monday it came. Yeah, so after last week's podcast, and I've got some thoughts on it. I guess my the first thing I'll say about it before we get on to the next topic and come back to this is I made a mistake, and I don't know why. I've done this a couple of times. I'm just stupid, I guess. I bought the mistake of buying Apple's clear case for it, and that thing is too slippery. I mean, it's way too slippery.
So I got to go to the Apple store. Say it's too slippery.
Really?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Because my wife bought one when she got hers.
Yeah.
And she said, "I don't want this thing." So we went to the Apple store, and they actually just changed it out. And the guy says, "Yeah, nice. Those are too slippery."
So I may just stick on some anti-slippery stuff on it, put some tape on it or something. Anyway, I'll get back more to the 14 Pro in a couple of minutes with you guys. But the first thing I wanted to talk about was this past week Google had its partner announcements. It was kind of disappointing. It wasn't really. First, there are no surprises, right?
Okay.
They announced the Pixel 7, fair. Pixel 7 Pro. They announced the. What's the watch called? The Pixel Watch. Yeah, how could I not know that? And anything else? I mean, actually available. I guess the earbuds are already available. Pixel Buds,
yeah, they
too.
Were.
Yeah. But what they did kind of re-announce with more info that is not going to be available till next calendar year is the Google Pixel
Thank
tablet.
Goodness.
Thank goodness, because that would cost you more money.
Yes.
Now, by the way, they didn't announce a price.
No.
So I have a link to two things. I have a Tom's Guide has a pretty nice everything we know kind of thing article in tomsguide.com. And I've got a link to the Google's own early look on YouTube. So as I said, there's no price. It uses the same Google Tensor G2 processor that I think the Pixel 7 and 7 Pro use. The presenter, Rose Yao. This is what disagreed with. Is she said their studies, Google studies, indicate that tablets, and I assume they're referring to iPads because nobody uses any other tablet for the most part. I think we lost Sven. There he's back. The Google Yao, Rose Yao of Google, said that their studies indicate tablets are mostly used at home and sit mostly in a drawer. Okay, I can buy the mostly at home, but mostly in a drawer? I mean, that's just, you know, that's just iPad hate. I think that's a hate crime.
Yeah. I think that is, you haven't figured out how to use a tablet.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for the first year I had an iPad, that was it accurate. I hadn't figured out how to use it yet, and so you're right. It was in a drawer. But to say that that's what most tablet users are actually using them for, I'd say that's what most tablet neglectors are doing
exactly.
With them, but not most tablet users.
Those are just Google employees who hate iPads. We should ask them their sample population is drawn from. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree based on a small but reasonable sample of people, you know, I've seen, not necessarily know well, but I just see wandering around in various places at work and so forth, and they're carrying iPads. A few people even carry Surface Pro, Microsoft Surface Pro running Windows, you know, whatever. And my other question is, did they conduct this survey during the pandemic when most people were at home anyway? In which case, yeah, I agree. Most tablets are home because most people are at home, you know? So what else is new?
Of course, I think Surfaces are kind of transgender. They're not really a tablet. Yeah. They're masquerading.
I gotta agree. I had a Surface Pro 4, and I think John was also a Surface Pro 4 user for quite a mm-hmm. while. And I rarely used it as a tablet. Maybe once just to try it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't like it, so I put the keyboard back on.
I mean, I have two of them, and the Go is probably my primary machine for when I'm at home because it's small, it's light, it's easy to use.
Right.
Generally, it's folded. The keyboard's folded back underneath.
Oh, underneath. Oh, interesting. You use it as a tablet.
But folded underneath, and I use it as a tablet.
Yeah.
Until I need to type something, then I fold it.
Unfold
type
it.
On it. Fold it back. Yeah. Fold it back under. But most of the time, I'm reading stuff or watching a video or something like that. So.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of reading news articles. You just scroll up with your finger.
Yeah.
It's very.
So what the folks call a consumption device.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That said, a couple of other things made it kind of interesting. And I should back up just a little. So, I've had Android tablets. I think we all have. In fact, early on, mm-hmm. before the iPad mini came out, I think we all had what was before the Pixel? Whatever the heck. Nexus. We had a Nexus 7, probably, all of us.
Yeah. That was a great little device.
Yeah. Loved the Nexus 7.
Mm-hmm. Especially the 7, the second version.
Yeah. So, we're not wireless unfamiliar, charging. but let's face it, in the last couple of years, there's been no Android tablets to speak of that have any popularity. And, we might know a few people who had them, but not many. But I've been interested because of, my Doodle a Day project, because I've tried my little daily doodles on all kinds of devices, which is sort of an interesting exercise. Like, what is it like using a Windows touchscreen versus a Mac with a tablet attached to it? A drawing tablet attached or just an iPad or whatever. But I don't know. Lately, I've been just using pencil and paper, so of all things. So mm-hmm. it's less interesting for that. But on the other hand, another thing is interesting.
Retro.
You can I don't know if it's an add-on or it comes with it, but there's a charging speaker dock. I'm going to assume that's an extra
cost.
That's
the part that interests me.
Right?
No, I'm not right? sure. I don't know.
They
position it so much. I may be. And since I am using the iPhone camera. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get over here to it and frame it. That's a Nest. That's a Google mm-hmm. Nest Pro Max.
Yeah.
And that's what the tablet looks like on its little dock.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah,
so
except yours side, doesn't detach, right?
It does not detach.
Yeah.
And I wish it did. But so I'm almost thinking that's a unit, maybe.
It could be,
planning on.
I've got a I've got a Lenovo Smart Assistant, which was one of the early Google Smart Home with screen type things. I think it's maybe 8 or 9 inches. I don't think it's as large as your Nest. You've got a Nest 10, right? I don't think it's
they only have a Nest and a Nest Pro.
Okay.
Call them different names like that. But it's the bigger one, whatever size it is.
So I think I'm looking at my Smart Assistant now. It's about, maybe it could be 10 inches. But, and I got to say, I really enjoy having it around. I talk to it all the time. It often talks to me without being prompted because it, anything with a consonant, vowel will basically trigger it.
Yeah.
And
Alex is the same way. And I'm not saying the full name because otherwise, eight of them will answer.
Right. So for that, and my Smart Assistant's getting a little aged. It still works great. So that's not an issue. But I would imagine that an actual Android device versus whatever the heck is running inside a Lenovo, and I'm really not sure what it is actually, would be a lot more flexible. Oh, also the Pixel tablet is like almost 11 inches. It's 10.95. I assume if I measured my iPad 11, it would be the same size. This one is showing a Nokia. What is that?
Yeah, that's an old Nokia Windows R2.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that. But the back of it, looking at it with the camera on the top like that, looks very similar to what that Pixel tablet is going to look like.
Yeah.
I thought, when I saw it, I said, wonder where they get the parts. Because there's lots of those
in their house. Yeah, somewhere. I wonder if they have these parts just lying around somewhere and could maybe make use of them.
And do you guys use HomePods?
No, I do not have a HomePod.
I do have one, but it doesn't. I don't really do much with it other than just use it for controlling home automations.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you ever use your iPad for home automations?
Yes.
With HomeKit? How about if your iPad was stuck on top of your HomePod?
Yeah, I've seen that argument as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's how they're positioning this Pixel tablet, right? As a home automation.
Yeah.
What does it matter, or whatever it's called?
If you think that nobody's actually taking their tablet anywhere, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what they're basically arguing, is that nobody uses these things mobile, so just turn them into a big screen that sits on top of something.
And my iPad mini strenuously objects to that characterization, by the way.
Yeah, so do my iPads. But again, back to, do you know how to use the tool, or are you just stuck with the tool that you've had for a while and deciding, well, better something than nothing with it.
Yeah. Oh, and the last thing I want to mention that was in the video and some of the articles is that it supports a stylus. Doesn't say it comes with one, you know, like the Home Dock, but it supports a stylus, which, you know, goes to my Doodle a Day project interest. But if it's not tremendously expensive, if it's under $600, I think I'd consider it.
That sounds like a good price. But I'd probably want the base with it for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it would be more interesting if the base were also affordable. You know, if it's not like it's not like an Apple Magic Keyboard price, $300 and something. And I guess you can use it with a keyboard.
Price it right around the price of the base iPad.
Yeah.
For the pad itself, that would. Mm. They could probably sell that pretty easily.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they still have some, you know, it's just running Google, it's free, it should be, you know, should be cheaper. It's Android's free, it should be cheaper. Unless Samsung makes it, then Android all of a sudden becomes expensive.
Well, and you know, the thing is, a lot of the current generation Android tablets, and there aren't many of them, most of them are all Samsung, they are not cheap. I think they start at $800-900. And the cheap one, and there are cheap ones like $300, but they are all running a version of Android so old and cannot be updated.
Cheap is the right word. They're not inexpensive. They're cheap.
I know. I was, again, you know, for my Doodle Day project, I was going to go buy a Samsung Galaxy Plus 7 FE. See, I got fooled. I thought it was a Plus. And the Plus has a really cool active stylus and all of that. And SE has like a cheap passive stylus. Also, it can't be upgraded past Android 12, I think. And we're currently on, 13, 14? It is not as interesting. And now, I know John is not a Google fan. But John, what do you think as a home assistant kind of thing?
I like the idea of being able to let it live at home or let it live mobile, so I'm not against that. I do think that if you bought a tablet with the mindset that it was going to live at home, I think there was probably a better tool out there for you.
Called an iPad.
I think if you find yourself as one of these individuals that you don't quite know how you're going to use the product, then yeah, this probably works well for you.
Yeah, or if you're heavily in the Google ecosystem.
Well, if you're, there's so many people that are into Google, and you've got the Google Home works kind of like HomeKit as well. Yeah. I would venture to buy one of these tablets to mount on a wall, and just use it as a kind of home control hub.
Sure. How would you? What would,
you know,
what
and
would,
it was cheap enough, you could do that.
Yeah. What would you use to mount that on a wall, by the way? Do you have? Would you put an arm?
I don't know. If you Google home improvement or home automation, there's tons of them that you can buy for an iPad. There are frames that will mount right in front of a wall outlet, or there's stuff in the back. It's got a case in the back where you could put the charger, and the charger's, you know, hidden inside the frame, and you can mount this thing on the wall.
Yeah, what we need is we need an inductive charger on these tablets, like iPhones do, or Pixels, some
or,
Pixels,
or
I guess.
Or POCO pins.
But what I'm thinking is
back to that Google tablet.
Yeah, that way if it had inductive charging, you could just instead of mounting it in a wall, you just kind of stick it on and it charges when you stick it on and you pull it off and there you go.
That would work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even if you had something, I mean, the iPads have pogo pins on the back.
Right.
You could make some kind of a wall mounting thing that it just, magnets too. I've got a stand here that the iPad
Google didn't say anything about any mechanically attachable devices like a keyboard or anything, right? I don't remember hearing that.
No, they did not. But it does have the pins on it to attach to that little base. So you could see that if you watch the videos that they had.
It was wireless charging, by the way, the dock.
It was.
Yeah, so that does go toward my thinking that if I were to put it on a wall or cabinet someplace that, you could just charge it while it's there. It'd be kind of cool, actually, now that I think about it. It'd be cool around offices.
And then Samsung will make a refrigerator that you can stick it on.
We'll see what all this costs next year and see if it's something I can afford. But next up, something else that I found moderately interesting, but I have no plans to buy, and only because I was my first smartwatch, of course, a Microsoft Spot Watch, but don't make me sniffle and cry thinking about it. But my second smartwatch was not an Apple. It was a Moto 360, which was great, an Android compatible device. And it too, like the Pixel Watch, was round. So. First of all, let me go back. I was a round bigot, right? I thought all watches should be round.
I was going to suggest that word.
Yep. I was a round watch bigot saying, if you're not a round watch, you're not a watch. Or, you're some kind of fancy Dan that, with your rectangular old school watch. But, and I think if for a watch that tells time and maybe has a chronograph on it, round watches are still superior. Sorry for, sounding bigoted that way, but round watches are superior. but for watches that do everything else, square is where it's at, or you're rectangular.
Yeah, it does definitely seem that way. I find myself quite often thinking about watches as round is the default, and that is what I expect. But that is a watch that does nothing other than tell me the time.
Right.
Or time things. And so, that's my thought on the Pixel Watch. I like the look of it.
Yeah.
And the features, I think they're on par with maybe a four-year-old Apple Watch. if you kind of look at where Apple is and where this is going to launch at. Of course, for price-wise, you can get a four-year-old Apple Watch much cheaper than this.
Yeah.
But I am glad to see Google finally giving a watch the Pixel treatment in a sense that maybe they're going to actually invest in it and we'll see, in the future, a competitive product to the Apple Watch.
Because it's expensive.
I think it is $349 with the base Apple Watch being at $399. So you're really not getting that much of a deal for losing some of the features of the newer Apple Watches.
Right. It's basically the most expensive Fitbit you can buy.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very accurate way to put it.
And I'm not sure it has all the features that a Fitbit does.
Well, it is a Fitbit.
As far as Fitbit, it has Fitbit features in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could compare them one-to-one. My wife was looking at them, and she just got she looked at both the Pixel Watch, and while we were looking at it, since they're both Google, I think the Versa 2 or something like that has come out. And they went right down about that.
Yeah.
She compared it, the Pixel Watch and said, no, I think this is better for her. And, but she doesn't, she uses an iPhone.
So yeah.
One of the nice things about it is that all of the Fitbit products, and I expect the Pixel Watch will pair and will work with an iPhone.
Yeah.
Whereas an Apple Watch won't work with anything but an iPhone.
That's true. Not even iPad.
I don't know. We're seeing on Google Pixel Watch compatibility list that I found says Android 8 or newer. So I do not think it's going to allow for
iOS. It's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
It may. Wear OS, you can get Wear OS in the Apple Store. So I don't. The app.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't. If it's Wear OS. But this is, again, I like the idea of Google making a true Apple Watch competitor. but I think they might also unfortunately copy that one annoying thing about Apple Watch, and that you cannot use it across platforms.
Right. And from their point of view, that's a no-brainer. It's not a problem because there are more Android phones than iPhones anyway, so market share-wise, you know.
How about Samsung Galaxy?
So well so far.
Are they not
the watches?
Are they not that compatible with the?
I have no idea.
I don't know how much they do in the fitness stuff. I don't either.
Yeah.
I've never really played.
I've seen them in Costco,
and
by the way.
They're pretty limited. Yeah, they seem to be somewhat limited to, you know, a fairly small set of Android phones. But
yeah,
but maybe not.
If my watch bigotry were, you know, truly was higher than it is, then I would probably buy, because I really like the Moto 360. You know, it looked like a watch. It did stuff I needed at the time. And then, you know, then I tried a rectangular Apple Watch and go, oh, look how much look how much visible text I was missing on a round watch.
Yeah, I know. But, nobody can see it in a podcast, but I was holding up my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And it's square, but I'm using a round face.
Yeah,
each
corner
has a complication in it.
Right.
You know, so there's stuff in
making
the corners.
Use of that.
So I got temperature, I get my heart rate stuff, and, you know, that's there.
Oh, did you buy that
wasted
new
space.
Watch 8?
I did buy a Pixel. Oh, no, I have not bought a Pixel. I have not. I'm really leaning toward the Ultra.
Oh.
Because I'm so active. You know, I'm out, you know, skydiving and, you know. But, no, what my thought is on the Ultra is it's got, if you go for a stainless steel watch, the Ultra's the same price.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially. So you're getting, you know, a ton more features with the Ultra than you would with getting a
That's what people have been
Apple
reviewers
Watch 8
have been saying.
Stainless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one thing that people I don't think realize you get with the stainless steel watch is what is the crystal? It's the
sapphire.
It's not diamond, but it's sapphire. Yeah, the sapphire crystal, which is, you know, the only thing you can use to test if it's sapphire is diamond, you know, for hardness scale.
Yeah.
So it's way more scratch resistant and tougher.
I think there's
and
a YouTube.
And the way they've set it up, I don't have a problem with them setting up with the crystal, with the, you know, the screen is flat and then the bezel is around it. The metal's around it. I like that. You know, this thing with the glass goes all the way around.
Yeah.
You know, no way can you bump it without hitting the glass.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I haven't seen it myself, but I read somewhere that there's a YouTube video of a guy trying to test the Ultra's sturdiness. And so he's pounding it with a hammer and he broke the table, but the watch is fine. So it's pretty tough.
Yeah, no, I watched the video. It broke the watch too, but it was using like a three-pound sledge to hit this thing. It took a while. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the first good hit that broke the crystal.
Yeah.
It was about the fifth, at which point he was also breaking the table.
Yeah.
He did finally break it.
Yeah. But, I didn't think about that. I didn't think, you know, isn't the Ultra the one that also has the satellite help me, I'm dying feature?
I think they all do. I think all of them do. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's, I think we mentioned it last time. It's not like SMS on your, via satellite. It's
right.
I'm in trouble. I need to get a short message out.
Right. Right.
I pick out of a menu, I send, and within 5 minutes, some emergency services will get that and come, you know, get me out of my stupidity.
Oh, here, emergency SOS. I don't see it as satellite. The satellite feature on, we'll talk about the iPhone 14 Pro soon, but I'm looking at the emergency SOS function. I don't see a satellite.
I'm not sure it's available yet.
Yeah, I think it's an upgrade that's required, right?
Yeah.
But you know, with Apple Watches,
after 2 years, you're going to pay for it too.
Yeah. With Apple Watches, I find it's always the little things that really make a big difference more than the big features. And with watchOS 9, it's been getting a bit of the notification for text messages before the actual picture of the person goes away. Either of you noticed that? It used to be that you would see the person's name pop up and then nothing. And then a couple seconds later, the picture would go away and you get the message. Now you get the first two or three lines of the message under the person's picture.
Hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really weird to me to think about what actually improves your product, your, you know, your, I don't know,
experience,
quality of life. Yeah, your quality of life with a thing. And it's all these cool features sound great. And then you get a little change like that and you go, wow, this thing just got much more friendly to me than I had before.
I guess I don't get many text messages because I've not noticed it. But
people bother me more than they bother you,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, you are a professor, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can usually tell from the first sentence if it's going to take up hours
escalate.
Of my life or if it's going to take up seconds of my life, you know.
Right. But anyway, it doesn't sound like any of us, except maybe Swen, because he buys everything, is going to really buy the Pixel Watch. But it is interesting.
I did buy a Pixel Watch, or I have it on order.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
The one with it. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's on order.
You did that from work, Todd.
No. I did that from work, you know, just right after the announcement. I went right on Google's page, got one on order. But I did get the LTE one. I have my iPhone's AT&T, and that's my main phone.
Yeah.
I do have a Pixel. And I'm going to hook it to the Pixel, and I also have a Surface Duo 2, the phone thing. But I have a T-Mobile account, so I'm probably going to activate that watch on the T-Mobile side. So I have one that has the ability to do calls and stuff like that. See how that works.
But, okay, now the question is,
it's a pretty watch. I think it's a really nice looking watch.
Do you wear? Are you going to wear both watches? I was just going to ask you that.
I may.
No, I'm not
for for a while. Maybe do. I know you're not being facetious or anything.
Yeah,
but, my wife wears two.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not mocking you because I wear two devices also. I have an Apple Watch on my left wrist, and I have a Fitbit Charge 4 on my right. So, not mocking you in the least, since I do the same
thing. My wife is the other way. She's got a Fitbit on her left and the Apple Watch on her right.
Okay, we're like polar opposites then.
Yeah.
That said, I'm not interested.
Are you below the equator? I can't remember.
No, I'm above the equator. We are subtropical.
Okay.
I was going to say that, although I'm not planning to buy a Pixel watch, which I think Google brands as Pixel Fitbit watch or something like that. But I probably will replace my Charge 4 with a Charge 5 at some time. I noticed the Charge, is my Charge 4 black and white or color? I can't even remember. It's charging right now, so I'm not looking at it. But
how accurate. The charge is charging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And unlike my Apple Watch, I only need to charge it every 2 or 3 days. Apple Watch every night. Actually, lately, before I go to sleep, my watch is down to like 12%. So I think the last upgrade really did a number and it's bad. Or maybe just the battery's getting old. Maybe both.
But yeah, anyway. Google's front page on the watch is Google Pixel Watch.
Okay.
It says, help by Google, health by Fitbit.
Okay. Pixel 7 and 7 Pro. Which one did you buy?
We have replaced my wife's Pixel 6 with a Pixel 7.
Okay.
The nice thing about that, I intend to get a 7 Pro. Change my Pixel 6 Pro for a 7 Pro.
Okay.
That's my intent. What was nice is what I find is strange is the price difference between those two phones this year. $599 for the low end and $899 for the high end.
Yeah,
it's a $300 between them. That's a big gap.
Well, one's pro, one's amateur.
The nice,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now, for my wife's, the trade in for her 6.6 up to getting the 7,
right,
it only cost $159.
Hmm.
So that was kind of a no brainer to make that that swap.
Right.
And get her up to date with stuff.
Right.
The sad part is, I think it was like $440 for the trade-in. The sad part is that's the same trade-in I'm going to get for my 6 Pro.
Mm.
So the gap is a little wider.
Yeah, I wonder if I could get trade-in for my 4A. Probably be like, I did check. It's only like $99 bucks. So it wasn't worth it, in my opinion.
Maybe not.
Why does Google Fi want me to choose a phone? I don't want to choose a phone. I log into my Google Fi account, but...
Oh, you get Fi.
Yeah, I wanted to see if they have an option for whatever. But instead of showing me, like, data and stuff, It just shows me what to buy, and I don't know. Oh, I see the problem. Because this is.
I might give you a better upgrade.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that. So here's the thing. Use another account. So I have a primary Google Mail account that I use for, you know, just about everything except my Google Fi. And that is because when Google Fi first came out, if you switched your phone to Google Fi, you would lose Google Voice. And I did not want to lose Google Voice. And I still don't want to lose Google Voice. Although I think now you don't have to. It has the wrong phone for me too, but that's okay. So I have to log in with a separate account for my Google Fi. And now confirm. Now it's confirming on my Pixel that I'm actually logged in, but I don't see how to do that. Confirm. I'm trying to confirm.
Let me take this moment to rant about dual-factor authentication.
Sure, go ahead.
only because I wanted to use the iMac here for this thing today. Right. I had to load Teams on it because I didn't have Teams on my iMac. So I loaded Teams on the iMac. Of course, I got to have, you know, to load something, you got to authenticate yourself to be able to load something on an Apple device. So I did that. So then I got Teams loaded, and then I want to sign in on that. So I sign in on that with my Microsoft account, and now I got to go get my iPhone because that's where it's going to send the code so I can log into my account. So I had to go get my iPhone for that. Then I wanted to do something else, and I don't remember what it was, and I had to go get my Pixel to authenticate that because there was something else I needed. So now I get two phones and my watch. What was nice is I could authenticate my Microsoft account with my Apple Watch, so that was kind of nice. But you have to be, you know, have to have these things around. You can't.
Right.
You can't put your phone down. Sooner or later, you know.
Okay. So this got even weirder.
You need it.
So I got the
Google Docs. That's what it is.
Google
Docs thing.
I got the notification on my Pixel 4a. But it wouldn't let me actually authenticate over my Pixel 4a. So I had to go grab my Pixel 2a, which is on Wi-Fi only for obvious reasons. And it could authenticate on that. So I'm not sure what would happen if I didn't have my old phone. Anyway, I am now authenticated. And I'm trying to see if I can get $20 off your bill. How do you do that? Let's see. Trade in your old phone for up to $100 credit. Pixel 7... I could get $100 off, so $499. What's the difference between a 7 and 7 Pro, Swen, if you know?
Size and cameras, I think.
Okay.
About the same as an iPhone and an iPhone Pro.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about, I can't remember if it's only the 7 Pro, both the 7 and 7 Pro, but one of the new features is only on the phone for Google Photos is unblurring a blurry photo. And I don't see why they just don't do that in Google Photos in the cloud. But anyway.
The processors they have in the cloud aren't as good as the Tensor X2.
But anywho, and you can get a 6A now for $350.
I thought I heard on somewhere in the tablet discussions that you could do it on the tablet, which has got a Tensor X2 or whatever it was, the second version of that chip. So I'm sure it's stuff that's tied to that chip.
So I am looking at the various devices that you can buy through Google Fi. It's interesting. There are only two brands of devices you can buy through Fi.Google, at least promoted. It's Google and it's Samsung. I guess there's nobody else left. Anyway, I shall leave this
up for a moment. Nobody else allowed to sell in the States.
Yeah. Oh, good point. I forgot about that. Good point. Anyway, it's food for thought. You know, before I retire and feel poor, I might buy stuff and then I'll feel, why did I buy that last year? But anywho.
Well, buy it. Buy it now because you'll never get to buy anything else again.
That's true.
What you got now is what you die with.
That's right. That's my theory. I was hoping the Apple Card would come out by now, but apparently not. All right. So speaking of burying the lead, so I got my iPhone 14 Pro. This past week, right after the podcast last week. Case is too slippery, And I forgot that the upgrade and transfers only transfers Apple stuff. So, you know, AirPod Pro, all those kind of Bluetooth things were all transferred and paired with my new phone as soon as I upgraded and restored from my 12 Pro backup. But everything that's not Apple had to be repaired. That was pretty annoying. And I also found that the app for my Bluetooth scale, because I've been trying to lose weight for the last couple of years,
yeah.
It lost all my data. Apparently the app backup doesn't backs up the pairing, because that paired, right? I didn't have to repair or anything, but it lost all the history. But fortunately for me, I had been synchronizing the data, one-way sync. I'd been synchronizing the data from the Bluetooth scale to both Apple Health and to Fitbit. So the data is preserved, just not in the app that it came from, which is kind of annoying. So.
What kind of scale? Out of curiosity.
Oh, what is it called? Let me go look at my app.
Because I have Withings.
It's not a Withings.
I'm pretty sure pretty sure Withings puts all their stuff in the cloud. So if you dump the app or sign in somewhere else, it's got all the data.
The app, you know, the app, which may be a different
brand. My whole life is in the cloud.
Is called Weight Guru, but I can't remember if that's the name of it. Oh, here it is, GreaterGoods.com. GreaterGoods.com is the name, is the brand. And as the scale goes, it's pretty good. The Bluetooth syncing is, for a while, it's a little flaky, but it's been very consistent and stable for the last couple of months. So, you know, I tried to buy Withings scale, but Sam's Club was out of stock. So I didn't buy it. And it's not on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
Swore that's where I got mine. Yeah. But anyway, I broke down and got a Withings blood pressure monitor.
Other thing that was out of stock at Sam's Club. Because I have a terrible blood pressure monitor. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, the Withings is pretty nice. There it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, everybody has one except me. I've got cheapy
makeup. You can't send anything.
Yeah.
You can't send anything
Hawaii
with battery to Hawaii.
Hawaii's not allowed to check the blood pressure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's the batteries, John. You can't send anything with a battery to Hawaii. They have to use coconuts to stir.
You know,
I just figured that nobody was that stressed in Hawaii that needed to check their blood pressure.
You know, we also can't get Anker Bluetooth chargers, either. Batteries with batteries in them. They won't ship them to, well, at least Amazon won't ship them. You can get them if, you know, a store buys them in bulk, I guess. But I've never seen a store here with Anker. Have I? I have not. Okay.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is. I love it. I love Anker.
Great thing about, you know, having been an MVP way in the back, you know, once a year you come and buy stuff. You know, bring it back.
Exactly. You know, I used to do that actually because, you know, coming from a foreign nation like Hawaii. It was funny because I remember our friends from outside the U.S. would often go to Best Buy and places like that as a special trip to buy stuff. And we do have a Best Buy in Hawaii, by the way, but it's, you know, it's kind of far from me. And I thought it was kind of funny.
Well,
but
an island, how can it be far?
It's far from me. It's like 14 miles away. But anyway.
It's not like Australia is an island, you know.
But any rate, so. But then I thought, hey, I do that too. You know, in fact, I remember when my daughter was in college, I couldn't get a pair of Bluetooth earbuds shipped to Hawaii. So I said, I'm going to ship it to you and I'll come pick it up when I visit you in family weekend. So that's what I did. But
it's just sad.
It is. You know, it's the price of paradise. So I upgraded from a 12 Pro. So I did not see any of the new features last year that I think, John, you've got a 13, right?
Yes, I have a 13 Pro.
Okay, so I've been envious of John's. Well, plus he has a Mac, so he has even more stuff than I do, more features. But I missed out on all. For me, the upgrade is really dramatic going from a 12 Pro to a 14 Pro because I did not have 3x optical zoom until now. I didn't have cinematic video mode until now, which is kind of fun. And by the way, I do see the shakiness that some people have been complaining about. Because apparently the optical zoom mechanism in iPhone 14 Pro is fairly sensitive that when you're moving the phone, I don't have like tremors or anything, but just in a normal course of holding a phone up without a tripod, there's a little bit of shake, right? There's a little bit of motion in your hands, maybe not a shake, but motion in your hands. And I do see the sort of the earthquake video that some people have complained about. But I don't see it in the recorded video itself, by the way. And the new thing, of course, is Dynamic Island, which is a stupid name, but it's actually a pretty nice feature. It's sort of like the Touch Bar on my MacBook Pro, which I didn't appreciate until I actually used it. So now that I've seen Dynamic Island, oh yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea. And it's kind of fun watching the camera thing expand and shrink and all of that. So pretty pleased with that.
So I went and got my case for mine yesterday.
Oh, which one did you get?
I got the silicon. I think it's a light green case.
Yeah, I need to, as I said,
comes tomorrow.
Mine's too slippery. I need to buy another one. So, but it'll do now. Protect it.
My wife's got an OtterBox.
Yeah,
they have got a number of very nice looking OtterBox ones, and they're not, one of those big ass OtterBoxes.
Right. Battlefield survivable.
Driving over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a regular case, but it's an OtterBox, and that was pretty nice. She likes it, and mine is the normal poly, rubbery feeling one, but the phone comes tomorrow, the 14 Pro.
Yeah. And you didn't get the Max, right? You got the, or whatever
it's called. I did get the
Max. Oh, okay. So you've got 4X optical.
I got the big one.
Yeah.
And do I? Okay. No, I think you have 4X optical and
something else I don't have, but I
got a case. But I have a 12 here, so it's quite an upgrade.
It's a pretty big jump. I traded in my 12 Pro, by the way. So
I will. The box is coming.
I had a box and a case before the Pro.
Can you ship batteries out of Hawaii? Is it?
Yes, you can. It doesn't tell you to deep discharge it or anything. And there was, I think on the box itself, it did say that it had contained batteries. So it did have that appropriate visual notification to shippers that this thing has a battery in it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Apple's the deal. I think I've told this story before, but when the first iPad came out in 2010, this is to show how much pull Apple has. UPS did not do Saturday deliveries in 2010 in Hawaii at all. And I was a blogger at the time, and I was kind of depending on my iPad to be there so I could, blog about it like all the other, alleged pundits. And then I got a notification on April 1st. I thought it was a joke at first, on April 1st, because you remember the iPad came out on April 4th. On April 1st, I got an email from UPS and said, hey, you've got a shipment that's supposed to arrive on Saturday, but UPS does not deliver on Saturday, so sorry about that, Jack. You'll get it on Monday. So, being me, I was incensed, right? Hey, I'm a professional blogger here. I need to get this thing in with all the other professional bloggers and, do my professional blogging. And so just out of irateness, I emailed, and I was very polite. I emailed to Steve Jobs' email account, which I found. And, just to vent, right? I didn't expect anything. I said, okay, I've said my piece, I'll go back to work. And I had a regular job. I was not a full-time blogger at that point. And my wife was working at home that day for some reason. And a little bit later, she calls me at work and she says, hey, you got a call from somebody who says he's from the office of Steve Jobs. I said, what? He says, yeah. He said, he gave me this phone number. He said, you should call him back as soon as you can. So I call him back. John's heard this story before. I call him back and he says, I'm so-and-so from the office. We got your email and we'd like to make things right. And so two things happened. I said, well, can you get me one from Apple Store? He says, well, they're all spoken for, but we'll try. And then he calls me back again. He says, okay, on Saturday, April 4th, when, the release date was happening, you go to the Apple Store that you named. You ask for this person's name when they come out in the line to check everybody's express number because you don't have an express number.
Yes.
And you just tell them who you are. And you ask for this person. And sure enough, somebody came out and said, hey, I don't have a number, but I'm told to ask for this person, and this is my name. Could you go tell this person that? And the lady comes back. It was a lady employee at Apple. And she says, we know who you are. You'll be taken care of.
But it would have been better if they had said, you need to literally say, quote, do you know who I am?
And that, if that wasn't nice enough, as an experience, the other thing that happened is when I got home, UPS had changed its rule for the iPad and made deliveries in Hawaii that day. That's how much clout Apple had. I had two iPads. So, you know, I felt bad about returning one. So I sold one to a coworker who wanted one. So I got my money at you know, at cost. I didn't like charge a premium or anything, but it was a good story. They have clout on shipping and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I would suspect they ship enough things that they definitely do.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. In fact, you know, when, you know, we get our annual, not really related, I guess, but iOS almost always comes out in, you know, September, October, right? The iOS upgrade. And for years and years, the FCC's annual broadband testing occurs in August and September. And they actually had to, I think, delay once iOS started upgrading at the same time every year because it messed up their broadband statistics because the downloads were just so huge during that period. But anyhow, that is about all I have. I am looking forward to what you say about your Pixel Watch and your Pixel phone and all of that. And
yeah, looking forward to seeing how they work together and stuff. And
yeah,
and see what it can do. And I'll probably make my wife wear it for a little bit just to see what she thinks of the Fitbit capabilities within it. Because she does prefer the Fitbits.
Me too.
Over the Apple's health stuff.
Yeah, me too. Which is why we're two. I think it's more accurate. I think a step count is more accurate than the Apple Watch, personally.
I think she goes back and forth on that. They're absolutely different. But
yeah, they're, yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, from some review I've heard, like on the Ultra, the Apple Watch Ultra with the L1 and L5 GPS.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a step count, but it's really accurate on the distance.
Distance. Yeah.
So there was one I was talking about, one other podcast I listened to. They had somebody somewhere, you probably find it, had his on while he was mowing his grass. And he went back in and looked at the thing. And it actually, you could watch the lines go back and forth.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He mowed his grass, where he had a different Apple Watch on.
That's interesting.
The other hand, he had both on. And the other one was, you know, was outside his property and then back in and had loops over here and stuff
right.
like that. But ultra back and forth lines.
And I think during the Apple event, maybe I don't know if John remembers, but I think they mentioned the fact that it's more than just GPS, because GPS doesn't do well near tall buildings or tall mountains because you get echo. So I think it does something like kind of like assisted GPS on our phones for mapping. I think it may use other data also.
Well, one thing they did said was like L1 is the normal GPS link. They said L5, and I know there's multiple links, so some are government and some are military and things like that. I don't know what L5 is anymore. I've been out of that area for so long. But, you know, if it's a more precise, you know, whatever it is, and they've got the ability to use it, then cool.
Yeah. Okay, well, I am staring at the Google Fi shop right now, you know, being very, very, very tempted by the, not so much the Pro, but the 7, because like, you know, like Swin said, there's a significant difference. It's $300 difference.
Yeah, the Pro has one more camera, and it's bigger.
Yeah.
Other than that, and it kind of, if you've got a, you know, if you've got, for my wife, the way we were thinking about it, she's got an iPhone 14
right.
Pro, so she's got all the camera she needs.
By the way, the Google Fi store, if I'm reading this correctly, that $100 off is not a trade-in. That's just $100 off.
No, that's $100 off. Yeah, that's what.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I got when they sent me my email and said I got your order. And by the way, you got $100. And it's not off. It goes into your Google account.
Oh, okay. So it offsets.
So you can buy more stuff.
Credit. Right.
From the Google store. Yeah.
Like a shop credit. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's still, you know, that's I could still, buy a case or something.
It's $100 off your tablet.
I do
next
have
year.
To change my account, though, because it's sending messages to my wrong. Oh, that's weird. It says right here my device is a Google Pixel 4a, and yet it sent a message to the Google Pixel 3a. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, the one problem I should go look on the 7. One problem with the Pixels I've had is that they only have 128 gigs of storage. How much does a 7 have?
Well, you can get more.
It has more.
For more money. You can have more.
Yeah.
For more money.
Yeah, for money solves so many things in life, doesn't it? So many things.
It does. Can't buy happiness, but it makes suffering really easy.
Well, as Barrett Strong, I think founder of... No, that was a singer. Whoever wrote Money, That's What I Want for Motown, right? Money can't buy... I can't remember now.
Buy Me Love?
No, that was Beatles. That was the Beatles. Although the Beatles did do Money, but... I remember, you know, money can't buy blah, 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 but what money can't buy, I don't want.
There you go.
All right.
$4.99. Weird Al Yankovic. If money can't buy me happiness, I guess I'll have to rent it.
There you go. Okay. So
$4.99. In the long run, it's cheaper.
$4.99 for a Pixel 7 to upgrade from a 4A does not sound so bad. And if I can get a trade-in to bring it down to maybe $3.99. That'd be even better.
Oh yeah.
So I'll give it some thought. Let me see what the trade is like, since we're, you know, let's get an estimate. I've got a Google. I've got a Pixel 4a. And it says $95. Turns on. Yeah. Not cracked. Yep, still $95. So it doesn't get you more by working. But
it'll get you less if it is not. I can tell you that.
Yeah, so something to think about. I might consider it for $3.99 for a brand new phone. It's not bad. Cheaper than what I paid for my iPhone 14 Pro.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay. Before I feel super poor when I retire, I will give that some thought. And anything else? Otherwise, I am done.
Yeah. Well, last thing, just in case anybody's, I mentioned I'm on my iMac doing this relatively new. It's a new 24-inch. Guy with the M1 processor in it. If sure. anybody's on the fence on that, this should push you right over. You know those Apple stickers you get with every Apple thing?
Yes.
You know the little Apple?
Right. What, you got
they
two?
They are green.
Oh.
Well, there's a dark green and a light green.
So
I've got the green one. So I've got the green one. So I assume if you buy the orange one, you'll get orange.
Oh, they're color-coded Apple stickers.
And those are colored, and those are about the colors that are on the back and on the front of this iMac.
Wow.
So, you know, those are collector's items right there.
I miss the rainbow colored ones.
That's almost worth. Yeah, I do too.
All righty, and that brings an end Mobile Views Podcast 424. Todd Agassawara, John Westfall, Sven Johansson. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next time.